As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I'm going to take a subject I've tried to preach from a number of times in my long ministry, and it may be later on I shall be helped to tell you why I am taking it. The book of Hosea, chapter 6, and the 3rd verse. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The book of Hosea, chapter 6, and the 3rd verse. Our subject brings before us a matter of unspeakable importance, and that is to know the Lord. And that means more than to hear about him, sing about him, read about him. It is that knowledge of the Lord which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. And it is a wonderful mercy if many of you this Sabbath morn are concerned to know the Lord and to know him from this viewpoint, my Lord and my God. And I would encourage you regarding that concern, because such a concern cannot arise from what you are by nature. If you feel that concern, and day by day you are waiting on the Lord that he will grant you that knowledge, saving knowledge, that you may know him as my Lord, as I have said, then God has already done something for you. He has wrought a miracle within you. The Savior speaks a word of encouragement especially for you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And now, in this subject, there is a graduated experience, and it takes in every sinner born again. What I mean is this. Sometimes when you look into the Word of God, you cannot feel that you can take courage from what you read, because you do not feel that you are the character that is referred to. When the Word of God speaks about the godly and the righteous and the holy brethren and saints, you ponder those words in your heart, and you seem to feel a hesitation in trying to enter into what words are recorded to such characters. And now, if you are born again, this does describe you. However much as yet you know or are waiting to know concerning the things of God, as soon as a sinner is born again, he begins to follow on to know the Lord. He finds in his breast a deep down concern, and he knows that without this knowledge he cannot enter through the gates of parole. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And now I want to look at the subject from three or four viewpoints of it, and I should like to say something to encourage you to hope in God, and to help you to follow on to know the Lord. And you must remember, if you want religion that God is the author of, you cannot learn it in any way that is easy. The things of God are of supreme importance, and God has laid down one line of things which every sinner following on to know the Lord must enter into. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And in that word being quoted, that does not mean primarily heaven itself. It means that it is as you go through deep waters and go into fiery trials, that the things of God are made a reality to you. The kingdom of God is viewed in that scripture so often quoted from that viewpoint. We can only know the things of God aright as they are known, tasted, handled, and felt. Head knowledge, although it may be correct knowledge, and there are many who may have a very correct creed, but good creeds may stock our heads about and in our hearts no grace be found. And now that is a solemn consideration. And to feel that one has got a correct knowledge, head knowledge, and can speak about the things of God as to the doctrine thereof, and yet lacks the one thing needful. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And now one thing you will be concerned about if you are following on to know the Lord, and that is that you may not be deceived or deceive others. There will be one scripture that will sometimes look at you, and it will cause you much searching of heart, lest at the end of the journey, with all that you have professed to be among the people of God, it should be said, Tekel, weighed in the balances and found wanting. Wanting a God-given knowledge of the Lord, and yet having a correct creed. I do want you, dear people, to weigh these things up and ponder them in your heart. For in my life's evening time as the pastor, I have many searchings of heart, and I want you to be searched also, that you may get right down to bedrock and not rest in following on to know the Lord until you can say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And now I would look at this subject, if the Lord should help me, from four viewpoints. One is the experience, and that is to know the Lord. Then there is the exercise concerning it, and that is to follow on to know the Lord. And then the subject brings before us encouragement. His going forth is prepared as the morning. If you are following on to know the Lord and have been doing so for a long while in life's journey, then you can look back and see where God has come into your life and done great things for you, and they have been done at the right time for you and yours. And you can see there is an overruling providence that wisely marshals every circumstance. His going forth is prepared. God does nothing by chance or haphazard. He sees the end of a thing from the beginning. And once he sets a sinner going, following on to know him, his life is lined out in every detail of it. And good it is sometimes to realize The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, that is what you've got to learn in following on to know the Lord. Ever gracious, ever wise, not be like Jacob when he said, all these things are against me, but to realize as these things are unfolded, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And so, if events come into our lives, and they do, every day new straits attend, it is good to remember, while you may be at the present time walking in obscurity and darkness, much in the dark as to the why and wherefore of the Lord's dealings, what are you to learn in following on? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Here it is going forth, is prepared as the morning. And then there is this expectation, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Then, let us begin at that opening word, for it is important. Then takes us back in the chapter to the beginning. And what is the beginning? Do you follow it along and ponder it? Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And now, here is a representation of a poor sinner under conviction of sin. And this is a beautiful description of it. He hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. In a gracious, heaven-sent conviction of sin, there is an experience what it is to be torn and smitten in one's feelings and in one's conscience. And yet, there is encouragement. Sinner, if thou art taught to see how great thy guilt, thy misery, in every thought and act impure, the blood of Christ thy soul can cure. And this following verse is very cheering. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. You see, God is a sovereign in how he leads his people into the truth. Some are under a solemn conviction of sin and under the law in their soul's feelings a long while and feel that the powers of hell get hold upon them. Others are led into the truth of their sinnership, hear a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But in each instance, however the Lord is pleased to lead, there is the guarantee, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Does this give you a thought in your mind about the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, when the whole church of Christ rose in him, triumphant over sin and death and hell? In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. And now, it is then a sinner who is aware, with a God-given knowledge, that he is a sinner. And I hope that includes many of us under Union Chapel roof. And it is to such sinners, sinners born again, yet as yet they may not be able to say much about the dealings of God as to being happy in the knowledge of the Lord that they possess, for they are being taught the plague of their own hearts, and more ready to say, depth of mercy can there be, mercy for a wretch like me. And now, this is where the word then comes in. Then, if God has led us into the truth of what one is by nature, there is help in God. There is hope in God. The gospel is let down into this world and is to be preached to mankind, to let them all know that there is mercy for poor sinners who feel their deep down need of it and who realize salvation is of the Lord, who stand every day as they follow on to know the Lord where the publican stood. And there is nowhere else you can really stand. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Then shall we know. But I want to look especially at the nature of this knowledge, a knowledge of the Lord. And remember, my dear friends, I'm not telling you just intellectual things, nor is this intellectual knowledge. No. It is a life and death matter. You must know the Lord, as He alone can lead you into that knowledge and realize that you belong to Him by everlasting ties or be lost. And oh, it is a terrible thing to contemplate what it is to be lost. Then shall we know. Oh, it is all important. Because before another Sabbath day, some of us might be in the grave. What then? For heaven are thy credentials clear? Oh, you do need clear credentials. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And in this following on, although the Lord has given you, you humbly hope, some knowledge of His Holy Majesty, some encouragement in following on, you will never be content with what you already know. You will have this feeling, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And in your everyday life, you will follow on to know the Lord in how you live and what you do and what you say and where you go and the company you keep. Religion that is of God is related to our everyday lives. Hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And I might turn aside and make this comment. It is a wonderful mercy if God has made you teachable. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. If you feel you already know this and that, then you cannot be teachable. But I like what Job says, that which I know not. And oh, how much it is, teach thou me. Do you ask God to make you teachable? You dear young people who have your own thoughts, your own thoughts it may be about chapel going, and sometimes feel that you wish things were otherwise than they are. Do you ask the Lord to make you teachable? and show you the unspeakable importance that whatever else you may know in this life, and you may know much that will fit you to fill a useful sphere in the world at large and be a benefit to your fellow creatures in filling it. But that is not the knowledge of the Lord. He communicates that knowledge to you to fit you for this life. But this knowledge is for this life and the life that is to come. Then, with that understanding weighing upon us day by day, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And now, I said this knowledge of God is a life and death matter. And I say this, it is absolutely necessary. And do remember, while it can be expressed in a creed, yet you can have a creed and be able to argue about it, dispute on matters of doctrine. But, dear friends, the great thing is this. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. And when you can tell out what God has done for your soul, that is for your eternal good, and it is for the glory of God, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And now, this knowledge of the Lord is heavenly in its nature. I often quote that word, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Then that means if you and I are going to heaven, we must have some religion that comes from heaven to fit us to go there. Otherwise, we shall never see the gates of pearl to enter therein. And this knowledge also is sovereign in its nature. That is evidence, as you may have observed, in watching the dealings of God with this people. You see, some who as regards the things of this life cannot take a big place in it because they are not fitted for it. But they are just humble people content to dwell where they were born and fill that niche that God has placed them in. And though they cannot mix among the great, which they do not desire to do, yet they have dealings with God. And their pleasure is to follow on to know the Lord. And when they get something from the Lord to build them up in a good hope through grace, oh, that fills them with happiness. And that happiness abides for time and for eternity too. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. This is what human nature resents and fights against, that God should have chosen a people out of the mighty mass of mankind, and he did that before the world was built or time was born. But you find many, yea, very many religious folk who have an idea, a hope, that they themselves know the Lord and are going to heaven. Yet when you come to the doctrine of election, they fight against it and will have none of it. Eh, but people who do follow on to know the Lord aright, they have lodged in their hearts a feeling like this: had not thy choice prevented mine, I ne'er had chosen thee. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And now, when you have this knowledge lodged in your heart, there are one or two characteristics you will find, and that is, it will liberate you. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It will liberate you from being in the world and of it, and living according to the world's maxims and conventions. You will hear that voice, "Come ye out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. Be ye separate." And glad you will be to be separate from the world at large, and feel like the psalmist, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Oh, it is a liberating knowledge. And there is this wonderful characteristic, that the more you do know the Lord, the more you find in your heart a concern to know Him, yet more and more. And you will understand our hymn writer when he said, "Oh, could I know and love Him more, and all His wondrous grace explore, ne'er would I covet man's esteem, but part with all and follow Him. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord." Mark that word, "if." What little that you do know will give you a concern to know yet more. And in your everyday life, you will be seeking to do this. We follow on to know the Lord in the matters that come into your everyday lives. There are things to do with you, your own soul, and your concern should be to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then there are things that come into your everyday life. There are things which sometimes the post brings, when you may get a knockdown blow in a letter through the post. Some new trial arises on account of it, or it may be to do with the children God has given you, and your concern to train them up in the way in which they should go, and in all the counsel you give them, it must be that which is to do with knowing the Lord, what His will is, His purpose, and that He will remember them with the favor that He bears to His people, and visit them with His salvation. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And it might be helpful if I look at some other characteristics of this knowledge. Jesus Christ is known as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And now, that will be a feature in your following on to know the Lord. You will be taught this truth: not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. And you know that without the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, you will never be made meet to enter into the inheritance of the saints in light. Therefore, that will be one thing you will follow on to know the Lord for: to know His name in your soul's experience as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And it is a very great experience when you can feel that the righteousness of God is a clothing the Spirit of God has put upon you in your soul's experience. And in that viewpoint, you know the Lord as Jehovah Tsidkenu. And then there is another name given to the Lord, and that is Jehovah Rophi, the Lord which healeth. I think that is one of the most beautiful names given to the Lord Jesus, set forth in the Word of God. How you see it manifest, as you read in the Gospels of Jesus Christ, verily man, verily God, going about doing good, and how often you read, and he healed them. And he healed them all. And he healed all them that had need of healing. And now, when you come up to worship God, when you bow your heads before God to ask for divine aid, a blessing indeed, you have got something like that in your following on to know the Lord. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair. Saviour, we are such. To know the Lord as Jehovah Rapha. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. This word if is a very searching word. Only two letters, IF, but everything hinges upon you heeding it. Then shall we know, if we do not settle down on our lees and be content with what little we think we do know. But you will not be allowed to do that if God in his mercy has set you going, following on to know the Lord. You will want this word, if, to be wrought out in your soul's exercises. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And you cannot be content. You cannot feel any peace of mind. You cannot feel that matters are right between your soul and God unless you do follow on to know the Lord. I told you at the outset, it is a life and death matter. It is a matter of eternal moment if we follow on to know the Lord. And as you are here in the attitude of worship, you have already been engaged in this exercise. We follow on to know the Lord. Think of what you asked God to do for you ere you came, or since you have come under Union Chapel roof. And it answers to this. We follow on to know the Lord. Surely you have said and asked the Lord to lead his servant into the truth, that it might be made in your soul's experience a blessed reality, and that you might get some help by the way, some token for good, some new evidence that you are being led forth by the right way. We follow on to know the Lord. Blessed Spirit of Christ, descend on us thus. Thy servant assist, teach him to teach us. And there are those in the assembly here who will say, Amen. You are following on to know the Lord. You are not come just to hear a sermon. No, you have come to hear the gospel. With ears to hear and a heart to receive it as good tidings of great joy, if God shall so bless it to you in listening to it. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And now, in this following on, I said it embraces our everyday life in every aspect of it. What aspect of your everyday life could you leave out and think you can do that on your own initiative? You do not need to ask the Lord to help you regarding that. It is just to do with everyday matters. If you should ever venture to act like that, you will learn the folly of it. Yes, you will realize in following on to know the Lord, you need his divine aid in all things to do with your everyday life as you are living it. Whether it be to do with you, or yours or your business or as the future shall unfold before you. You see, you have got to learn this. If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. In the way you go, everything hinges on knowing the Lord therein, and that he is your guide. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. And I do not know how you find it, but I'm sure you find it like I do, that you need to know the Lord, what is his will for you, in all the varied details of your life. And how glad you are when you can see his hand ordering your everyday life and things working together for your good, and you hope for his glory. And now, in this following on to know the Lord, there is a following on to know him in a profession of his name. For there are those who, when they are sinners born again, as they begin to follow on to know the Lord, and they learn what his word declares, in all places where I record my name, there will I come and bless thee. You will want to be in those places. As grace is given, you will want to be in every one of those places. And one is to follow him in what he has laid down in the word of his grace as the way you enter into a church to become a member thereof and to follow the Lord in a profession of his dear name and to be baptized in his name and show the world whose you are and whom you serve. Jesus says to each believer, be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. And when these things are set before you, you will find in your heart, if you are following on to know the Lord, a response. Who can tell but what God will be gracious to me if he will grant me the privilege and permission to do that and follow him in the footsteps that he himself trod when he was baptized in Jordan's river. And you may be favored to do so. And you must not set up a standard in your heart, your conscience, as to what you want the Lord to do for you before you would do this thing for him and follow him in his own ordinances and be baptized in his name. No, you must look at it like this. What saith the scriptures? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. You may say, oh, there are many things as yet I do not feel to know. And until I do know them, I do not feel that I can make such a venture. But it may be, if you followed on to know the Lord in making the venture, that on the other side of the baptismal pool, you would find in your soul's experience a blessing indeed. You must not try to bargain with God. Oh, I do think that is a thing that is very reprehensible, and people sometimes do it. If God will do this, then I will do that. Away with it! The Word of God does not give you any warrant, any permission whatever, to deal with God in a way of bargaining. It is what saith the Scriptures. And then it is for you, in keeping his commandments, not invitations, so that you can consider it from that viewpoint, but if you are following on to know the Lord, it is a commandment. And in keeping his commandments, not for keeping, there is great reward. do remember that. I had no thought of bringing that line of things into the sermon, but still, it might be a word in season. And remember this, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And that means to follow the Lord wherever he shall lead you. And in the word of God it is said, where he trod with his holy feet, when he dwelt on earth as Emmanuel, God with us. And you will have to learn to follow on to know the Lord in the same way that Jesus himself trod with his own holy feet. Hereunto are ye called. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. The Lord help you to do something about it. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And I have already hinted, there will be a following on to know the Lord in our worship. And that not only means in listening to the gospel preached, it means all branches of worship. In singing the songs of Zion, you will follow on to know the Lord therein. Glad you will be to sing some of the songs of Zion, for they tell out what you know that you feel in your own heart, and you can sing praises with understanding and follow on to know the Lord in doing it. And in the word of God, searching the scriptures, in whatever is read in the services, you can follow on to know the Lord, desiring to be led into the truth, that it might be made a reality in your soul's experience. And in the public prayer, although I wish my public prayers were more profitable than I often feel they are, but you can follow on to know the Lord and say amen to this petition and that touches a chord in your own soul's feelings. And so you go right through the worship of God, and you can follow on to know the Lord when they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it. Have you ever noticed that word hearkened? There is no repetition in the word of God, vain repetition. The Lord hearkened it, as it were, as we do it. He assumed a listening attitude to hear what was being said. And if you are not saying anything, the Lord does not hear anything. But if you are speaking about him and about his truth, speaking one to another that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him, and how you have proved this in his dealings with you, the Lord is heartening, listening, and the Lord taketh pleasure in what he hears when you are telling out his dealings with you for your good, and you desire it to be for his glory. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And there is one other aspect of this following on. We follow on to know the Lord in his sufferings. Oh, when you come to think of the sufferings of Christ, you are lost in amazement at the magnitude of what the sufferings of Christ really were. We can never begin to understand it. When Christ suffered and died for the ungodly, as the word of God declares. But his people, as they follow on to know the Lord, each one will be given a cross. And what did the Savior say? He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me cannot be my disciple. You might think of that scripture. He that taketh not up his cross I've told you sometimes, I will tell you once more. It means that you do it voluntarily. You have it in your heart to do it. Following on to know the Lord. And if he allots any sufferings for you or yours, you desire to follow on to know the Lord and what his will is therein. And you follow on to know the Lord like this. Lord, I would indeed submit, gladly yield my all to thee. What thy wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for me. You take up the cross. And sometimes you are glad that the Lord has not left you crossless. Remember that. I remember reading of an old Scotch woman who was inquired of concerning someone that belonged to the church where she went to, and the minister was addressing her, and this man was not what he should be in following on to know the Lord. And the old woman said, the Lord does not think enough of him to give him a clump. And now that may sound strange, but there's a great deal of truth in that. You say thank you to God for your cross and follow on to know the Lord in it, and you will know in the ultimate issue, no cross, no crown. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And we do know him sometimes, just a little, not very much, but just a little in his sufferings. And it helps us to go on the way God has ordained, as we realize it is enough for the disciple that he be as his Lord. And our great concern is that we may follow him in his sufferings in a right spirit. The flesh dislikes the way, but we desire grace to superabound over all that one is by nature, and to be able to say, let but my fainting heart be blessed with thy sweet spirit for its guest. O God, to thee I leave the rest. Thy will be done. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. Amen.